gospel, that little rascal in our mouth. And we just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In chapter 3, it's going to deal with, and we're not going to really get to these verses. I want to sort of lay a little bit of a foundation this morning, but we'll kind of look at them the next time that we kind of grapple with this. But in verses 1 through 12, it deals with the tongue. It starts out with James is really addressing teachers. It seemed like in that particular group, the one that James was writing to, they all had something to say. Whenever they got together, they all wanted to teach. They all wanted to give their input. And James is trying to help them understand the responsibility with teaching, that if you teach, you're going to be under a greater judgment by God. He's going to be much stricter with you because you have an influence over people with the things that you say and a responsibility for declaring accurately the Word of God. And so he begins to talk about that, and then that segues into the tongue being something like, it has such great power. We can control horses with a bit in its mouth. A rudder can control a huge ship, and a small spark can start fires. And it kind of talks about the tongue that way. And it talks about how it's out of control so often. And it sets the course of nature itself, the circle of life, on fire so often, and it hurts so many. And so what he's dealing with here is, within the mature believer, there needs to be a control of the tongue. The tongue needs to be bridled. The tongue needs to be controlled, especially with those who are walking with the Lord and have grown in their relationship with the Lord. Because you see, the tongue is a powerful thing. It can really help advance our cause for Christ, help us in our walk with Christ, or it can really discourage and defeat and hinder the walk of others around us in their relationship with God and their walk. The tongue is a powerful, powerful thing, and it's amazing how much it does influence us. It is amazing how much we enjoy the things that are not good about it. It's within all of us. Just to give you a couple of examples. I'm not sure, you may or may not be aware, but during the time of Winston Churchill, the royalty, there was Lady Astor. He had real problems with her. There was a lot of conflicts going on. They didn't really like Winston Churchill because of his abrasiveness. He didn't show the dignity of an Englishman, but he certainly won the war for them. But he always had this problem with Lady Astor. None was better at insults than Winston Churchill, who had no love affair with Lady Astor. Actually, the feeling was mutual. On one occasion, she found the great statesman rather obviously inebriated in a hotel elevator. With cutting disgust, she snipped, "Sir Winston, you are drunk." To which he replied, "Milady, and you are ugly." But he goes on to finish and says, "And tomorrow, I will be sober." One more. On another occasion, Winston Churchill and Lady Astor engaged in verbal sparring when she told him, "If I were your wife, I'd put arsenic in your tea." Which he replied to, "If I were your husband, I'd drink it." Isn't that horrible? We love that stuff, don't we? And yet it's so ugly. I mean, you just think about how two people just treated each other. I mean, probably in front of the public and in many cases in private, but in other times it just wipes people out. It just hurts people. And we like it when we hear it about others, but boy, when it hits us, it can really hurt. It can devastate us. It can actually change our lives. And then gossip itself. It's amazing how it spreads. We're so careful with the prayer chain, but I'm surprised sometimes at the way it ends up, because they always have the last person call the first person again just to make sure it got through. And it's usually very, very good, but once in a while, my goodness, it's strange how the end result turns out. Here's kind of a little story about this. It's kind of a cartoon, but it's how that the first pew heard something and it got passed all the way back to the back of the church. The first pew heard, "My ear kind of hurts from the pastor." Well, the second pew, "The pastor has an earache?" The third pew, the pastor got a hearing aid. The fourth pew, the pastor has trouble hearing. The fifth pew, the pastor got a double earring. The last pew, an old lady with a cane walking out says, "That does it, I'm out of here. The pastor's got a double earring. I'm done with this place." And it does, it spreads that way, doesn't it? And it ends up to where you don't know what's been said and you're spreading news or spreading things that you don't know if it's true or not. And it could really be hurting someone. Reputations can be destroyed, tarnished, hurt, feelings, and so on. And what we say often has the ability to either point people to the Lord or totally turn them away from the Lord. And so often that is the case, and it's happened. In Proverbs 18, I think one of the probably the best verses on this, and I think it's been misinterpreted sometimes, but yet it's a powerful verse. Chapter 18, verse 21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." And some would interpret that as you can, you know, by faith you can make things happen through the power of the tongue. And, you know, I don't know if that's really what's being said. What's being said is you have the power to give life to people, to fill them with life, or the power to just destroy them. And many of us have done that. We've destroyed people. We've encouraged people. We've blessed people. That is why Jesus had some of the strongest words in the New Testament to say about what comes out of a person's mouth. In Matthew 15:11, "It's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a man, but what comes out of a mouth. This defiles a man." They were upset because the disciples weren't washing their hands in the appropriate ceremonial way, and they were eating wheat. And Jesus said, you know, it's not really what goes into the mouth. The stomach eliminates the stuff it doesn't need. But that's not what defiles someone. It's what comes out of the mouth that makes them defiled before God. And in Matthew 12:34-37, he says, "You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it, and in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." Strong statement, isn't it? And I'm thankful that we have a forgiving God. But it's something we have to be aware of. To slight the tongue, to say that, well, it's not that big a deal, everybody does it. No. We will be held accountable by our words. People, you know, often you hear this, you know, people will say this. They'll say, "Oh, I'm sorry I said that. That really wasn't me." And I'm thinking, well, who was it? You know, of course it was you. You see, Jesus ties the tongue to the heart. And that's the tragedy. What comes out of the mouth identifies the heart. And when we treat those around us with disdain, with disgust, with cutting remark, it's a demonstration of what's really inside the heart. I learned that years ago. When ugliness comes out of my mouth, all it's telling me is where my heart is. And I realize my heart is far from God. If I can say the things that I do, if I can say it in the way that I say it sometimes, in ugly, cutting ways, then something's wrong with my heart. And that's broken me many times. One commentator puts it this way. Oh, wrong one. He says, "Scientists maintain that once a sound wave is set in motion, it continues on a never-ending journey, and that if we had sophisticated enough instruments, each wave could be captured and reproduced at any time. If that is true, every word spoken by any person who has ever lived could be retrieved. God, of course, needs no such instrument, and Jesus states plainly that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for in the day of judgment." And so, you know, think about it. If everything was reeled back, man, I don't know, I couldn't stand it to listen to the things that I've said at times, the way I've said things. And so the tongue is so important. And so what I want to do this morning is I want to give you kind of a just a feel for God's overall perspective on the tongue, the things that come out of our mouth. And I don't think there's any better place to look than in the book of Proverbs. And so if you just want to turn to Proverbs, I'm going to go from verse to verse, and we're going to go as far as we can, and then we'll finish when the time's up. But I want to just kind of give you a feel. Many of the verses I'm just going to read, a few I'm going to comment on, but I want you to just get a feel for how God looks at the tongue. You remember Isaiah, when he came before the Lord and saw the holiness of the Lord in the temple, the first thing that he was conscious of was the wickedness of his lips. He lived among people with just evil lips, and he himself was a man of unclean lips. You see, our lips are a demonstration of everything that we are. What comes out of our mouth and the way that we say it demonstrates who we are in our nature. You can't hide it. It just comes out. And so Proverbs, it's the well of wisdom. And what you're going to see a lot of, just to kind of give you an idea, is the contrast between the perverse and the righteous. The righteous is just the believer. It's just another term describing those who are believers. And then the perverse are those who don't believe, that use the tongue for perverse things. Perversion. We get the word perversion. Perverting the truth. Perverting dignity and honor and integrity. And taking what should be something that is good and turning it into something that is evil. And using it for evil purposes. And so that's what you'll see the contrast a lot of. So the first one will be in Proverbs 4:24. So I'll let you get started. Turn to that. And then from this point on, you'll just kind of have to follow quickly. Proverbs 4:24. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. So stay away from those with those kinds of lips, and be not one of those people yourselves. Proverbs 5:3. The lips of an immoral woman drip honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. Interesting that we wouldn't necessarily associate ourselves with immoral people or an immoral woman. It could be an immoral man too. But think just for a minute who your favorite characters are in the movies and on sitcoms. And how many of those people are immoral? And in a sense, the scriptures are telling us that we've blown it. Because we have associations, we listen to people, we give credit to people that influence us and have an impact on us that are immoral. And the Word has a strong message for that. Proverbs 6:12, a worthless person, a wicked man, walks with a perverse mouth. Proverbs 6:16 and 17, these six things the Lord hates, yes, seven are an abomination to Him. A proud look, a lying tongue. Then in verse 19 it says, a false witness who speaks lies. It's important to remember that we are to hate the things that God hates. God hates a lying tongue, because a lying tongue hurts so many people and it misrepresents God. God is a God of truth. And when we misrepresent Him with lies, we are misrepresenting His very nature. Proverbs 10:11. The mouth of the righteous is a well of life, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. Proverbs 10:18. Whoever hides hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. Spreading slander, spreading everything that comes down the pike because we don't like the person or group without really any evidence. And I think we've all been guilty of this. There's presidents we don't like. There's parties we don't like. There's groups we don't like. And we love to just hear dirt and spread it. Did you hear about this? Did you hear about what they did? Did you hear about what he did? And a lot of times we don't have any evidence. And we justify it by the fact that we think that they are ungodly. So we justify our slander. And God says there should be none of that. Now the tragedy is this. Ephesians 5:12 says, for it is shameful even to speak of these things which are done by them in secret. We have someone in politics, Condon, right now. And we just want all the dirt, don't we? We just want to hear everything about it. It's shameful. It's shameful that we should even talk about it, what they do in secret. This is God's take on the tongue. So make sure you understand what he's saying. Proverbs 10:19. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. In other words, if you talk a lot, you're eventually going to stick your foot in your mouth. It's guaranteed. You know, that's why he starts with teachers. Let not many of you be teachers, because the preacher should know when to stop, and sometimes they don't. I did not stop quick enough Wednesday night. Wednesday night, we were finishing up one of my favorite sermons in the whole Bible. And it was Acts chapter 20, and everybody was standing, we're kind of closing, and I'm looking at this thing, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, that's really a great sermon. Well, that's what I said out loud. You know, that was really a great sermon. It was over, you know, I mean, everybody just lost it at that point. I mean, I wasn't talking about my sermon, I was talking about Paul's sermon, but you know, a preacher should know when to stop. You say enough words and you're eventually going to put your foot in your mouth. Better to be quiet. Proverbs 10:20, the tongue of the righteous is choice silver. It's valuable. Proverbs 10:21, the lips of the righteous feed many. It's food for life. Proverbs 10:31, the mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom, but the perverse tongue will be cut out. The righteous help us think noble thoughts and about appropriate things. Proverbs 10:32, the lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked what is perverse. Proverbs 11:13, a talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter. You see, a gossip, the problem with a gossip is they're so excited about being the first one to tell everybody something that a lot of times they don't wait to find out if there's truth behind it. They just want to be the first one to tell everybody else. And it's a tragedy because a lot of times they're telling things that they've heard. They've eavesdropped and they haven't heard the whole story. But they're so excited to tell everybody that they tell what they've heard and it's not the whole story. And it ends up hurting people, or they tell things that people don't want told. They overhear something. And so, you know, be careful about being a tale bearer. That's basically just the same word as gossip. Because a lot of times you're spreading stuff and you're saying things, and you don't always have to be the first one to tell the story. There's something, you know, we all have our little areas that we struggle with, and some people struggle with that. They always want to be the first one with the news. They want to be the first one that knows everything. And you've got to be careful with that, because in your excitement, you can spread stuff that is false and hurt people. You can spread stuff that other people want to share. It's their good news. Why should you be the one sharing it? And so you need to be careful in this. You need to be careful in this area. Proverbs 12:18. There is one who speaks like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. If there's one thing I could share with young couples, one of the things that I think is the most important is how you verbally treat your mate. Don't make fun of them, ever, in private or public. You know, there's a tendency among young couples, and sometimes they kid with each other, make fun of each other, and they start joking. Every time you make fun of your spouse, it's like a sword that pierces. You're cutting away at the intimacy, and you don't even realize it. And you're destroying something that should be growing. You've been called to treat your spouse with respect and with honor. You should be the safest person in their life. And we with our tongues so often destroy them and cut them down. And we're the ones that can hurt them the deepest. So be careful. It's the sword of piercing. Be careful. If you want to make fun of something, get a dog and make fun of it. You know, you can do that. But you treat your spouse with respect. Proverbs 12:19, the truthful lip shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. I like this verse because there comes a time where lying, the whole thought process of lying will be done away with. In Psalm 1, it talks about the way of the wicked shall perish. The very way, the very nature of evil, the very thought processes of evil will be gone one day. We don't even know how to relate to that. But one day, all of it will be gone. I look forward to that day. Proverbs 12:22, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are His delight. Proverbs 13:3, he who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction. If you're a smart mouth, you're going to get in trouble. You know, I first-hand experience right here. When I was younger, I just had a smart mouth. I just had always had a comeback. I always had a comeback for people. And I have a fellow that I know that's a Calvary Chapel pastor. I'm not going to tell you who it is because you'd all know him. But he admittedly says, I have a smart mouth. And a guy came to him with a problem one Wednesday night. And this guy had caused him problems and stuff. And so he smarted back at him. And the guy beat him up. Literally beat him up. They had to take him to the hospital. And he took full blame because he has a smart mouth. And he just didn't know. He couldn't shut himself up. This guy started in, so he gave it right back to him. Right back at you, buddy. You know, and got himself beat up. And, you know, there's an Arab proverb that says, take heed that your tongue does not cut your throat. You know, and a lot of times our tongue cuts our throat, doesn't it? My brother, he just didn't know when to stop. There was one time he had, I think it was 700 years he was grounded for. He just didn't know when to, he couldn't stop. I'm just looking at him in amazement. I'm thinking, you knucklehead, what are you doing? And he just kept going. And my dad even said, Mark, why don't you just shut up? I mean, is there a point to this? You know, and I think it has to do with getting the last word, doesn't it? There are some people, that's another trait of the tongue. There are some folks, they just go, hey, forget that. Get the best word, not the last word. You know? Because if you get the best word, you'll leave them with something to think about. But if you're after the last word, they're just angry at you. You know, it's just foolishness. Leave them something to think about. The last word is not always the best word. Proverbs 14:3, in the mouth of a fool is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise will preserve them. There's a rod for the fool. There's a rod of pride. If you're foolish about things that you say, I have a dear friend. He got into the mortgage business. 2 years into it, thought he knew everything. He's a pretty confident fella. And so he's out with a group of people one night, and they're all discussing mortgage stuff and business. And then he got off on an individual who was advertising on KCMS for a business opportunity where if you invested, you could get a 12% return on your money annually. And it was an investment in land and stuff. And so my friend decided he was going to inform everybody how stupid this guy was and what a ripoff. And he went on and on and on for about 10 minutes. And finally, when he stopped, just on the other side of this group, a young lady said, you know, I wish you hadn't said all that. That was my father you're talking about. He said he learned one of the most important lessons of his life. He said, in the mouth of a fool is a rod of pride. He got the rod that night of his pride. He learned a lot. He learned a good lesson. But boy, if you're arrogant, you're spouting off things, and you never know who you're going to hurt and how it's going to affect people. Proverbs 14:7, go from the presence of a foolish man when you do not perceive in him the lips of knowledge. Proverbs 15:2, the tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness. Proverbs 15:4, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. We need to be careful of that tongue, because a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue can break a spirit, especially with children. You can break children with a perverse tongue. Parents, we should never get to the point where we're degrading and demeaning our children and cutting them down with our tongues. If we've gotten to that point, if that's what it takes to control the children, then something's wrong with our parenting. And we need some instruction and we need some help. If screaming at them and yelling at them and cutting them down is the only way we can get their attention, then something's gone wrong with our parenting plan. And we need some help in that area. And I'd encourage you to get some help, because you're breaking the spirit of a child in a bad way when you use a perverse tongue to try and control them. And it also comes across when we make promises that we break. You can break the spirit of a child if you continually make promises and don't keep them. How many children have just, they don't trust anybody, anything. They won't even trust God because they had a father that made all kinds of promises and he never kept them. Very difficult to trust a father in heaven who's made many promises. So we need to be very careful in that area. Proverbs 15:7, the lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the fool does not do so. 15:23, a man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. It is a blessing when you have people around that just are a blessing with the way encouragers. Proverbs 15:28, the heart of the righteous studies how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours forth evil. The heart of the righteous studies how to answer. They know how to respond in circumstances. Again, teach your children respect for those in authority. You can always tell when children have been trained and when they haven't. And it's important to teach them how to answer at certain times, how to show respect. How to respond in given situations. That's wisdom. Proverbs 16:1, the preparations of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. So again, the association with the heart and the tongue. The tongue is the identifier of the state of the heart. 16:13, righteous lips are the delight of kings, and they love him who speaks what is right. Dignitaries love honest people around them. Proverbs 16:21, the wise in heart will be called prudent, and sweetness of the lips increases learning. You know, you can, as you go through life, you can watch this principle hold true in almost any given situation, whether it's in the home, whether it's in the classroom, whether it's in business, whether it's on the sports field or in sports anywhere. If a participant comes across with an attitude, those in authority are going to seek to cut them off and put them in their place. But those who come in with a good attitude, those who are in authority are going to help them excel and do better and help them learn and help them grow. But when you have a smart mouth and a bad attitude, people are just going to cut you off. It's just a principle here. The wise in heart will be called prudent, and the sweetness of lips increases learning. And so if you come, teach your children. Don't be an example of this yourself with authority. Have an attitude of respect. Have an attitude of submission in authority where we're supposed to. If you come with an attitude, if you come with a smart mouth, the first thing they're going to do is take away your ability for them to help you. And it grows. Learning will grow. People will help you if you come across with, you know, you're not brown-nosing. That's not what we're saying. But just an attitude of respect that God has called us to. Proverbs 16:27, an ungodly man digs up evil, and it is on his lips like a burning fire. We see this in the media feeding frenzies. When they find something, they just want to dig up everything that's ugly. Proverbs 17:4, an evildoer gives heed to false lips. A liar listens eagerly to a spiteful tongue. It's kind of like birds of a feather flocking together. Proverbs 17:7, excellent speech is not becoming to a fool, much less lying lips to a prince. Or the Christian is sort of a illustration here. Lying for a Christian is not appropriate. I had a friend that told me this story. His wife accused him of being a liar. And he said, I'm not a liar. And she says, okay, I dare you. I dare you to go through a whole day without telling one single fib, without, shading an issue or anything, just being honest the whole day. And he said, you know what, Chuck? I couldn't do it. I mean, I'd be sitting and I didn't want to talk to someone on the phone. I'd tell them if they picked it up, I'll tell them I'm not here. And it was a lie. And all of a sudden you realize, I lie all the time. And if we truly examine ourselves, we are filled with lying a lot more than we are willing to admit. And it's just not appropriate. It's not appropriate for the Christian to be a liar. And that's what God is saying here. Proverbs 17:20. He who has deceitful heart finds no good. He who has a perverse tongue falls into evil. Proverbs 17:28. Even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. When he shuts his lips, he is considered perceptive. Abraham Lincoln said, better to let people think you are a fool than to open your mouth and dispel all doubts. That's where it comes from, this verse. Just keep your mouth shut and they'll think you're smart. They'll think you're just thinking about it. Proverbs 18:4. The words of a man's mouth are deep waters. The wellspring of wisdom is a flowing brook. Proverbs 18:6. A fool's lips enter into mouth calls for blows. Always wanting to argue, always having that last word, you end up receiving emotional blows. You go into the prison and you go into the jail, and oftentimes you'll see guys in there that, you know, that they've got black eyes or they've got bruises on their face. And generally when you talk to them, well, what happened? Well, I got drunk and I started mouthing off and got into a fight. It often happens. Fights always start usually with arguments. And so a fool's lips enter into contention and his mouth calls for blows. Proverbs 18:7. A fool's mouth is his destruction and his lips are the snare of his soul. Proverbs 18:8. The words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles, and they go down into the inmost body. You see, again, a gossiper most often knows they can get a receptive ear because, you know, it just goes down, but it affects the inmost part of our body. Be careful. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. The Midrash, which is sort of a compilation of commentaries on part of the Old Testament, says this: the evil tongue slays three, the slanderer, the slandered, and the listener. And so just a bit of wisdom, it always affects everybody involved. Proverbs 19:1, better is the poor who walks in his integrity than one who is perverse in his lips and is a fool. 20:15, there is gold and a multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. Proverbs 20:19, he who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets, therefore do not associate with one who flatters with his lips. There were three pastors and they were gathered together and they were going to have an accountability group. And so they were getting together and they finally felt it was time to just really be honest with each other. And so the first one says, well, my problem is that every once in a while I take a drink. I just get so nervous about my sermons that I just have to have a drink sometimes. And okay, we'll pray for you. And the other guy said, I just have a problem with gambling. I mean, when the lottery gets so high, I spend $200-$300 buying lottery tickets. And okay, well, we'll pray for you. That's a tough one. And the third one finally says, well, my problem is gossip, and I can't wait to get out of this meeting. So, he who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets. And so, you know, people aren't going to trust you. Proverbs 21:6, getting treasures by a lying tongue is a fleeting fantasy of those who seek death. 21:23, whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles. Proverbs 22:11, he who loves purity of heart and has grace on his lips, the king will be his friend. 22:14, the mouth of an immoral woman is a deep pit. He who is abhorred of the Lord will fall there. 23:16, yes, my inmost being will rejoice when your lips speak right things. 24:28, do not be a witness against your neighbor without cause, for would you deceive with your lips? 25:15, by long forbearance a ruler is persuaded, and a gentle tongue breaks a bone. just giving them something to think about and letting them think about it. And this is a problem for people who have to have issues resolved right now. Sometimes with wives, that's difficult. You know, and it can be with a husband too, but a lot of times the wife wants an answer right now, and we're going to stay up till 3 a.m. till I get an answer. You know, and we're going to hash this thing out. And you know, if the wife would just say, here's what I'm thinking, here's what I want to do, and just let the guy think. I mean, he's thinking. He really is. He may not be saying anything. He may not acknowledge you as though you exist. You know, I've never had that problem, but, but he is thinking about it. I mean, you have so much influence on us, you can't believe it. And when she says something, you know what? It automatically gets filed under honey-do list. You know, I know it's there. It's there. And I know I've got to deal with that thing someday. And so, but if you just let them think about it, a gentle tongue breaks a bone. It's powerful. 25:23. The north wind brings forth rain and backbiting tongue and angry countenance. If you backbite, you're going to get people angry at you. 26:28, a lying tongue hates those who are crushed by it, and a flattering mouth works ruin. The flattering mouth, always just, you know, that's the opposite end of giving life. It's the flattering tongue. It's everything sugar-coated, everything, you know, you're so wonderful. You're the most wonderful person in the world. I'm just so thankful to be your friend. I just love, thank you for even walking on the ground that I walk on, you know, just that kind of thing. It's just too much. Be careful. Don't be a flatterer. Let another man praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips. Don't blow your own trumpet. 28:23, he who rebukes a man will find more favor afterward than he who flatters with the tongue. This is a good one, and because it's important. All of this positive stuff that we're into now, self-esteem stuff, you know, I've never liked it. I've never liked it. You know, I don't know. I don't want to get off on a soapbox. But he who rebukes a man will find more favor afterward than he who flatters with the tongue. You see, all of this positive stuff, you know, we encourage kids all the time, even when they're not doing good. Oh, you did so good today. It was wonderful to see you out there. I mean, you didn't do everything very well, but you were so good. And they weren't good. They didn't do it well. They didn't do it right. But what we have to build them up. No, that's not right. Constructive criticism is helpful. Instruction. Instruct them. Help them understand. My parents, people say, well, you must have grown up in a real positive home. And no, they weren't positive. I can't remember my dad ever. I mean, once in a while he'd say, man, that was a good game. But the thing was, I was loved. I knew I was loved. My parents loved me and would have done anything for me. But they weren't always stroking me and trying to build up my self-esteem. But there was security because I knew I was loved. You know, the love is what's important. Discipline is love. Instruction is love. Be honest with them. Because they'll look back at you, and if all you've done is flatter them all those years, they'll look back and say, how come you lied to me? How come you told me I was good when I wasn't? How come you didn't tell me I needed to do this? And so, you know, again, you've got these extremes. Then the other side is you're always criticizing them. I mean, that's the other side. You don't want to go there either. And so, but again, there's wisdom in the tongue, and it's not always flattering. A couple more and we're done. 30:32. If you have been foolish in exalting yourself, or if you have devised evil, put your hand on your mouth. I have a friend that when we play golf and it gets worse, it gets badder, we're playing sports, he says, stop the bleeding. You know, it's, in other words, stop. And yesterday at the men's breakfast, I was sitting with Jack Zill, and Jack says, if you find yourself in a hole, quit digging. That's right, man. Quit digging. You know, just, when you've blown it, just stop. Shut your mouth. You're just going to end up making it worse. And so, and then the last two. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Proverbs 31:26. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. The virtuous woman, the law of kindness. Let's stand. The tongue. Sometimes I wonder if we would be better off if we couldn't talk at all. You know, and at least we wouldn't get in trouble with each other so much. But there's a lot of great things the tongue can do, but there's a lot of destructive things. And God has some strong things to say about it, something that we need to concern ourselves about. We just can't go on living life and babbling and spouting out anything that we want to and think that God accepts it all. He doesn't. As a mature believer, we need to control the tongue, bring it under control. And I would like to say this. As we close this morning, I feel that one of the bedrocks of our church over the years has been the fact that within the general population of this body, there is a real strong, strong commitment to being careful of criticism, backbiting. I mean, it happens from time to time, but it is not something that generally has affected our church. And I think what it demonstrates is the state of the heart. I think that most people here do truly love one another, and they do not intend to hurt one another. A lot of the times that I've found that people end up blowing it with their tongue, it's truly by accident, something that they haven't seen. It's not intentional. And for that, I'm grateful. I'm grateful for the leadership that we have. They're very careful about what they hear, what they say, and how they approach those situations. And we haven't had huge blow-ups over the years because of that. And I'm thankful and I'm grateful. But I pray that we would all grow in this, that it would not only affect our church, but our home, the people we work with at business, that what comes forth from our tongue would be kindness, gentleness, and love. And truth. So, you can be dismissed after this song. If you need prayer, come on up. We'd love to pray with you before you go.
You are my God. You are